year, at least one in four Americans is diagnosed with a heart condition. At that point, there are some very important decisions to make for your future. The harsh reality may be you are left with more questions than answers. This is where the Heart Rhythm Center podcast can help. We are your what, why, and how of palpitations, heart rhythm disorders, pacemakers, and defibrillators. Welcome your host, Dr. Jeffrey L. Williams, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. The information included in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended or implied to be professional medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. Listeners should always consult their healthcare providers to determine the appropriateness of the information for their own situation, or if they have any questions regarding medical conditions or treatment plans.
Hi, this is Dr. Williams, and welcome to What Are Palpitations series, podcast 5, What Are the Common Supraventricular or Top Chamber Tachycardias? The incidence of arrhythmias varies depending on region and type of practice. An inner-city heart rhythm doctor may see different arrhythmias than a more rural cardiologist. If we are thinking of all patients that present to cardiologists, the most common arrhythmias in order would be sinus tachycardia, premature atrial contractions, premature ventricular contractions, supraventricular tachycardia, which includes AV node reentrant tachycardia, AV reentrant tachycardia, and atrial tachycardia, and somewhat less common arrhythmias including atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, and ventricular tachycardia and ventricular fibrillation. Of note, atrial fibrillation is becoming the most common arrhythmia that electrophysiologists like myself see in everyday practice. I started an electrophysiology practice at a small community hospital in 2008, and the most common arrhythmias I encountered when I performed EP studies and ablations on patients included AV node reentrant tachycardia, atrial flutter, atrioventricular reentrant tachycardia, atrial tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, and ventricular tachycardia. It must be noted that the most common arrhythmia I see in my overall practice, again, is atrial fibrillation. However, I try to manage atrial fibrillation medically before considering ablation. This explains my relatively low rate of atrial fibrillation I saw in patients who I brought to the electrophysiology laboratory. Please note, more comprehensive explanations and figures are available in the What Are Palpitations book that's available in both print and electronic versions on Amazon.com. We are going to talk about the most common supraventricular or top chamber tachycardias in detail. However, any of these arrhythmias can be triggered by increased stress, decreased sleep, the use of caffeine, alcohol, illicit drugs, or nicotine. Furthermore, there are many arrhythmias that may not be routinely cured, such as atrial fibrillation and ventricular tachycardia, which we will be also talking about later. Premature atrial contractions, also called PACs, or atrial premature contractions, APCs, or sometimes atrial premature depolarizations, APDs. These are extra signals from the top chambers, the atria, that can trigger an extra heartbeat that interrupts the regular rhythm. These have been found to occur in 97% of healthy patients older than 65 years of age within a 24-hour period. They are generally harmless, although they may cause symptoms if they occur frequently. AV node reentrant tachycardia. AVNRT is a supraventricular tachycardia, we call those SVT, that can be seen as short asymptomatic bursts in up to 50% of healthy patients over the age of 65. I have seen this arrhythmia in over 30% of patients who underwent an EP study and ablation. Most people have a single electrical channel, also called pathway, in the AV node that transmits electrical impulses from the atria to the ventricles. However, 10 to 35% of people may have what is called dual AV node physiology. Most people with dual AV node physiology are not even aware that they have this condition, but a small percentage of patients can develop AVNRT as a result of these dual pathways. Normal day-to-day heart rhythms use the faster of the two pathways. Occasionally, a normal electrical impulse traverses from the atria to the ventricles using the slower pathway, and then immediately sends an electrical signal back up to the atria from the ventricles via the faster pathway. If this continues heartbeat after heartbeat, the patient will experience a fast arrhythmia and may develop symptoms such as palpitations. There are several different types of AV NRT, but all types can be treated by performing an ablation of the slow AV node pathway, leaving the fast AV node pathway intact. AV reentrant tachycardia. Atrioventricular reentrant tachycardia, called AVRT, is an SVT caused by an accessory pathway outside the AV node that causes an abnormal extra connection between the top, the atria, and the bottom, the ventricles. This tends to be discovered in childhood or as a young adult, but can be found in older patients as well. Interestingly, I have had several older patients who experienced symptoms of palpitations for decades, with some including various outpatient monitors and multiple emergency room visits, but we were never able to demonstrate the arrhythmia to their care providers. I tell my patients, sometimes the car doesn't make that noise when you bring it to the mechanic. Wolff-Parkinson-White, or WPW syndrome, is a rare type of arrhythmia in which a patient has AV reentrant tachycardia causing palpitations and a special type of electrocardiogram abnormality called pre-excitation. This is often diagnosed in childhood, but may be found later in life. I use common clinical scenarios to help describe these arrhythmias, how they present, and how they can be treated. Common clinical scenario 1 is a 52-year-old woman who presented for evaluation after over 30 years of palpitations. She reported episodes of the sudden onset of a fast and regular heart racing. The episodes seemed to have no obvious triggering or relieving factors and usually resolved on their own in 5 to 10 minutes. She occasionally had success in terminating the symptoms with vagal maneuvers. These vagal maneuvers are discussed in Podcast 8. Vagal maneuvers include things like bearing down as if you were having a bowel movement, coughing vigorously, and placing your face in a bowl of ice water. Multiple outpatient and emergency room visits over the years, as well as electrocardiograms and Holter monitoring, had not uncovered any arrhythmias because the episodes occurred only every few months. Trials with beta blockers and calcium channel blockers were not effective in relieving her symptoms. I advised her to immediately come to the office for any recurrent symptoms, and she subsequently presented to the office with a supraventricular tachycardia at 220 beats per minute. Of note, the normal heart rate is less than 100 beats per minute. She ultimately decided to have an EP study, and we successfully ablated AV node reentrant tachycardia, as well as an accessory pathway causing AV reentrant tachycardia. It is not common to have two types of arrhythmias, but she became symptom-free after the ablation. The next arrhythmia we're going to talk about is atrial tachycardia. Atrial tachycardia is an SVT caused by an abnormal focus or cluster of cells in the top chamber of a heart, the atria, that fires irregularly and randomly. Atrial flutter. This supraventricular tachycardia is the first cousin of atrial fibrillation and may also lead to an increased risk of stroke. We will specifically be discussing atrial fibrillation and atrial flutter in Podcast 6. It can be very difficult to control atrial flutter medically and may require electrical cardioversion or an ablation, which can possibly cure atrial flutter. Common clinical scenario number 2. A 72-year-old man presented for evaluation of palpitations from typical atrial flutter. He was seen by a general cardiologist and was found to have a new diagnosis of typical atrial flutter about 6 months before. The patient was placed on warfarin for anticoagulation and metoprolol and underwent a cardioversion with a preceding transesophageal echo, which showed no evidence of blood clot in his heart. He was successfully cardioverted back into his normal sinus rhythm at that time, but about 1 month before the current visit, he had a recurrence of palpitations and was found to have returned into atrial flutter. He underwent an electrophysiology study and successful ablation for typical atrial flutter while continuing his warfarin uninterrupted. Atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation is the most common arrhythmia encountered in cardiology practice. It is caused by the abnormally fast beating, or fibrillation, of the top chambers of the heart, the atria. This fibrillation triggers the bottom chambers of the heart, the ventricles, to beat very fast, which usually causes most of the symptoms. Podcast 6 discusses atrial fibrillation and its treatment, but anticoagulation to decrease the risk of stroke, followed by medications to control heart rate, are the usual first steps in management. I would encourage listeners to go to my blog at heart-rhythm-center.com and look up this podcast. There is a figure that depicts examples of sinus rhythm, AV node reentrant tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, ventricular tachycardia, and atrial flutter. And perhaps looking at these arrhythmias on electrocardiogram will complement this discussion. Thanks for listening and learning about the most common supraventricular tachycardias we see in clinical practice. I hope you'll join me for Podcast 6, What is Atrial Fibrillation?
Thank you for listening to the Heart Rhythm Center. If you have enjoyed this episode and would like to access extensive explanations of topics discussed today, together with helpful illustrations, head over to www.heart-rhythm-center.com, where a full list of available publications on Amazon can be easily accessed. That's www.heart-rhythm-center.com. And please subscribe to the Heart Rhythm Center blog, as well as Dr. Williams' author page on Amazon, where his books discussing arrhythmias, pacemakers, and defibrillators are available in print and electronic Kindle versions.